You're listening to Wisdom of the Ages, the show that taps into the many expressions of universal, ancestral, and personal wisdom to ignite evolutionary consciousness.
Welcome, mystical travelers. This is Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages, where we invite the sacred into modern day reality. So if you're interested in mystery schools and the Magdalene lineage and the feminine Christ consciousness, you will love this episode. I'm really looking forward to this one. So once upon a time, we could only have conversations like this in secret. So we're really making progress. Humanity is evolving. So I would like to introduce my guest today. Her name is Kara Gilligan. She's a mystic, an author, a coach, and speaker. Her spiritual lineage is in the Magdalene priestess of the Rose line of the Holy Sophia. Kara is a passionate advocate of the return of the sacred feminine to everyday life, an Akashic records reader, tantric wisdom teacher, and channel for the divine feminine wisdom. Her mission is to establish the principles of sacred wealth, sacred sexuality, and sacred relationships in the creation of the new humanity. I am ready for this. So welcome, Kara.
Thank you, Anne. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
I am too. I think it would be really super if you could explain, just as we're diving into what I believe will be quite a deep conversation, what is the feminine Christ consciousness?
It's a good question. And I think it's a mystery, first and foremost, that we're all reawakening to. And many of us have different facets, different jewels, different gems, and understandings and revelations about what and who and how the feminine Christ operates within us. But at the, you know, the simplest way to put this is that this is the feminine aspect of Christ, and the feminine aspect that for me brings Christ into being. So the feminine that births the Christ in us all, and also potentially into reality as far as like birthing Christ into a planetary system, or birthing Jesus, or, you know, a being like that into a planetary system. And also the feminine that kind of stands by that consciousness, nurtures that consciousness, helps it grow, is the counterpart also to it in the female form. So we might look at, you know, so we might look at Mary Magdalene, and we might look at Mother Mary and say, okay, these are the feminine Christs. They're the counterparts to Jesus in female forms. But then I think there's also a universal level of it, which is more energetic, and it's more in all of us. And just like Jesus lives in all of our hearts, or that Christed being is, in my opinion, this is my faith, is like the true self of every one of us, and really of all life, is that Christed being. And then we might even say that potentially the feminine Christ is the grail, the womb, the physical form. Like the feminine Christ could be nature itself. It could be all of creation itself, ultimately. That is whose end goal is to really produce or to create this sacred state of realization in human form. So that's how I look at it. And I'm sure that, you know, I think one of the most beautiful things for me about connecting to the divine feminine is that whereas, you know, Jesus or the divine masculine is sort of the principle of the one in us all, the feminine really is more the principle of the all and the multiplicity. Mm-hmm. And so I think you could have a multiplicity of perspectives on who, what the feminine Christ is, and they would all be valid and all have a different, maybe a different face of this sacred consciousness expressed in each and every one of us.
Ooh, exciting. So I'm looking forward to getting into the multiplicity. I'm very curious.
Multi-armed Davy. She's got a lot of different forms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if people want to check you out while we do this little ad break, where would they go? Is it wakingbeauty.com?
Wakingbeauty.com.
Okay, that's an easy one. Yeah. Okay, so we've been speaking with Kara Gilligan about the sacred feminine, the feminine Christ consciousness. I love this, the multiplicity. So when we come back from this short break, we're going to speak more about the feminine Christ consciousness. And if you wait to the end, then Kara will offer a guided meditation with singing bowls to activate the Sophiic wisdom codes that are so needed for an evolving humanity. I can't wait for that. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Tonya Don Rekla, Executive Director of Superpower Experts and creator of the Superpower Network. Welcome and thank you for making us your go-to place for inspired content, training, and community. The network is so much more than a place for amazing content. It's step one on the path to unlock your superpowers. Listen to one episode daily on the Superpower Network and attune yourself to inspired conversations, higher vibrational living, and much, much more. In step two, you learn with us by watching one of our inspirational videos each week from the I Am series. And when you're ready, come grow in community. Our superpower programs offer a unique experience for those ready to harness their superpowers to change themselves, their lives, and ultimately, the world. Go to superpowerexperts.com and take the next step on your path today.
Oh, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Wisdom of the Ages. You can find out more about the show on superpowerexperts.com/wisdomoftheages. And today we're speaking with Kara Gilligan about the feminine Christ consciousness. So here we are. I'm so excited about this. But before we go really into depth, I think it's super when we can follow a personal story and take everybody with us, because I mean, this was so secret for so long, and I'm so excited that we're now talking about this publicly. But can you share something about your own spiritual awakening?
Sure, yes, absolutely. And in relationship to the feminine Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay. Well, I think the first thing that I'll just share is I was actually like born on Christmas Day, and Yeah. And I think there was in my incarnation that relationship to the Christ was kind of there from the beginning, you know, when you share your birthday with a major religious figure and really the religious figure of my own culture, there's always sort of like a seeing myself through his lens, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But I was, as a small child, I had some mystical experiences. I think most children are able to see between the worlds, and you know, we have imaginary friends and fairies and everything that we're playing with as kids. And then as we get older, you know, we get conditioned and we go into like another state of consciousness where we're just really attuned to the world and we're really attuned to the human life. And maybe we lose some of that perception of the more mystical or inner planes. And that definitely happened to me. And I had a reawakening that actually came more through trauma than anything else. I was, as a young woman, I went to Dartmouth College. It's an Ivy League school in the New Hampshire mountains. And it's very, very masculine, this school. It was the last Ivy League to let women in. They were, you know, really forced by the federal government to let females into that campus and into the university. And I didn't fully realize some of the that culture, that there was a very at the time that I was there, there was more of a misogynistic culture, and you've got kind of a cult, almost like a cult, but it was like these fraternities that had been around for hundreds of years and all male up in those mountains. They just had their own, mm-hmm. you know, gravitas. And it was pretty right. strong, you know, it was pretty, pretty strong. And for me, it was also just sort of coming into that level of society, kind of the higher echelon of the money, power, elite, so to speak, and really seeing that there was this really great imbalance where it was all masculine energy and there wasn't a lot of feminine energy, culturally speaking, in the college. And of course, there was some abuses of women's bodies that was occurring, and certainly from what I witnessed with a lot of the hazing rituals there, you know, there was the brothers were really being taught, you know, violence as a form of power and mm-hmm. bonding through kind of, you know, very kind of shameful and humiliating things. They have them do very disgusting stuff to hate yes. in these fraternities. And so it was like this bond that was being formed through these shameful secrets. And if you wanted to, you know, really get a brother to do something, you would call him a pussy, like he's not strong enough. And that this was how our future leaders were really being conditioned to right. know what it was to be a man and to be walking into, I mean, Wall Street, walking into, you know, Washington, D.C., Silicon Valley, you know, some of the greatest seats of influence in our country. And so I was really rocked by that. And I think that it scared me, number one. And then it generated for me a really deep feeling of hopelessness around the state of the world that resulted in a deep disillusionment. And I was seeking, I think I started really seeking something. I didn't really know what I was seeking, but I was taking an intro to religion course at the time as a 20-year-old college student. And I just started reading really all of these sacred texts of all these world religions, you know, everything from the Upanishads and the Bible and even the Quran and just all of these sacred texts from all around the world. And I had a mystical experience. I had something that you can't really define. it was a state of I used to always say it was kind of like being struck by lightning a little bit. It was like an aha moment, like a veil got lifted, but it had force to it. It was like, whoa.
Yes.
And and after that, honestly, like my consciousness changed. I immediately, right when the experience happened, I could feel and see and hear my spirit guides. I remembered, why I came to this planet, why I was in human form. I remembered my mission here, I guess you could say. It was all this intuitive knowledge started just opening and flowing in like very, very fast. And right from the get-go, really and truly Mary Magdalene was there. It was, I developed a very deep love for Jesus, like after that moment. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't actually active before that, but after that mm-hmm. moment, I started, you know, having these dreams, and Jesus would come to me in these dreams, but he was coming like as the bridegroom, literally, like as my husband, like putting a ring on wow. my finger. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't understand. Like for me, I was going I was raised Catholic, but we were really more like cultural Catholics. I wasn't really into the whole thing. You know, my parents weren't super religious. It was more a cultural tradition. If you're Italian or you're Irish, that's what you do. So I started going back to church because I had had this mystical experience. And I began having these states of like almost a very like a passionate sort of longing for union with Jesus that was coming through my participation, mostly in the Mass during that time. And I would have dreams, and there it was a love affair, but it was... And it had the qualities of like a woman just genuinely falling in love. But I would say that it wasn't necessarily sexual, but it was like the same energy, but it was like up at the heart. And I didn't really understand it at first. I thought it might be something naughty or, you know, bad or wrong. I was like, wait, I don't think you're supposed to want to like marry Jesus. I was like, what is this?
Well, there's a tradition, right? There is a tradition where you do Jesus, yeah. Right? Sure. Yeah, becoming a nun, right?
I don't know. They didn't teach it to me in catechism. So I had this like, what is going on? Right. I don't really know. And I was really drawn to Mary Magdalene because I felt like she knew or she could help me with what was going on. But I was scared. At first I was very scared because I was still operating within the Catholic dogmatism. And I still really kind of believed that Mary Magdalene was this fallen woman and that she was a prostitute and that she had been redeemed by Jesus and had these demons cast out of her. And that was really the lens that was the only lens that I saw her through. And it took me a while before I really began to open deeper into her essence and felt safe enough to let a more mystic path unfold in my, I guess you could say, my Christian devotion. Because today, I'm sure that if most Christians met me, they wouldn't consider me a Christian. They would look at me and say, oh, you know, well, she's following a lot of other things, because I really do. I honor all faiths. I honor all different religions. I believe that you can find the same God through all of these different forms. And it's something also that I believe about Christ himself. I believe that Christ comes in different incarnations, not just Jesus, but that he's been here since he was Jesus. And he'll be here again and again and again. And really, I began to open into this realization that there was a spiritual lineage of, I guess you could almost say like these female devotees, that we sort of long for this beloved one. We long for this divine human, and we long for him to come and into the creation. And in some ways, our longing for him and our devotion to him, and not just him as a human, but him also as like a cosmic principle, brings him into form. And it's also through that I began to realize, and some of this was through my relationship with Mary Magdalene, and some of it was then just starting to connect into who I really was on a soul level. I really realized that at certain points on this planet, there were lineages, there were priestesses, and there were temples where women that had this capacity were cultivating actually I guess you could say stabilizing the Christ or stabilizing the Christ consciousness into the planet itself. That yes, it can come as an actual man, or it can come as an actual king, as an actual leader or an actual savior of the people, but that it also comes through the feminine power of the heart that is really truly in all of us. And stewarding the creation in such a way that we are cultivating that consciousness in ourselves, in our societies, and in how we live on, you know, the back of this beautiful green earth that we are so blessed to live on.
It was probably part of your Irish lineage popping through there too. Because I think one of the reasons I fell in love with the Celtic tradition, because I had a kind of similar experience at the Chalice Well, Glastonbury, looking for the Magdalene, and then this sort of Gnostic opening, which does throw you for a loop at first, because you're like, wow, what just happened, you know? But one of the things that I love about the Celtic tradition is a man is not a leader or a king unless the lady of sovereignty, the goddess of the land, deems it so. And they're talking about, I went to Columbia University, so when one of the first years that they opened up to women, and I think there's been such a disservice probably Europe and America, other places too, probably for such a long time, because when we can make this personal connection and understand the value of both the divine masculine and the divine feminine and the human masculine, the human feminine, and we can return to the sacred relationship, my goodness. I mean, it just feels like we're at this point where we need to do this, we just need to do this because the other option is not even worth discussing, right?
yes, exactly. That's part of the crux of my story, is like, this was also part of my realization of what was sort of going on that was off in how kings are being initiated now in our culture, in American culture, right? And what you just said, Anne, about the Celtic culture and that it was the land and the almost like the priestesses and the goddess of the land that chose the king, this was actually true for all ancient cultures.
Yes, of course.
You know, originally. Even if you go into Sumeria, which is like the roots of what we now consider, you know, civilization, and the myths of Inanna, and Inanna is this beautiful fertility goddess, which basically represents the earth, the farm and lands and the nature that supports society. And she's choosing her king, and she's basically choosing between a shepherd and a farmer who's going to be the king. And even the symbology of Jesus, and not a lot of people know this, but Jesus was a shepherd, and he's a man. Even if you just look at him as an archetype compared to other archetypes of masculinity, you can tell that he is a masculine consciousness that has been cultivated from the principle of the feminine, which is really the principle of love, the principle of nurturance. The mother principle loves us and nurtures us, and she's compassionate. And Jesus really embodied all of those things. And so we have an idea of what it means to be a king, or what it means to be a powerful man, or what it means to be, you know, the top dog, that isn't necessarily in alignment with universal law and how the universe sees this king or this divine masculine being raised or being created, or what he is like. And that really became part of my own healing, and also part of my own lessons based on, you know, that shadow and that pain body that I had been, you know, experiencing when I was a student in college, and kind of seeing how these for me now, it's like, it just breaks my heart, like seeing how these men were being broken in a way and, mm-hmm. and really,
absolutely.
Really abused and taught that that's what it meant to be a man and to be a powerful man in this world. And it's, and we really do need like a new, we need this feminine consciousness to come back in. We need it to come back into our understanding of not just on a religious level. I think certainly there is a place for bringing that in on the spiritual level in the church and in Christian faiths. And thankfully we've seen, you know, some development in the recent years with the church finally honoring Mary Magdalene and saying that she wasn't a prostitute and saying that she was an apostle and she was one of the closest and, you know, disciples of Jesus, and had a very powerful part in his, in spreading his message, you know, after the resurrection. But we also need to bring it in politics. We need to bring it in finance, in science, in how we're, you know, agriculture, all of these places. I know if we're going to be going through this evolutionary leap that we're in.
I believe so. I had a meeting some years ago with some Mayan priests who told me, I think it was early on in 2012, who said that the full divine feminine had not been allowed to be on the planet in 5,125 years. They were very specific on the timing. And what was going to change on December 21st, 2012, was that finally the feminine energies would begin to awaken again, and that it was going to be very important for people to understand how this was going to take place. So the fact that this is coming out now and women are finding their voices and the priestess path is reemerging and oracles seem to be awakening everywhere, mm-hmm. seems to just be part of this new emerging humanity. If we are really going to step into a golden age, and we have the opportunity now, we can evolve into mm-hmm. a new, healthy, loving humanity if we choose. So that's my belief. What do you feel about the evolution of humanity?
Well, I align with it very strongly in the more of the priestess and I've also connect a lot to the Egyptian mysteries and the Egyptian traditions, which I sort of see as like the root of the Magdalene and even a lot of the Judeo-Christian mysteries are sort of evolved out of the Egyptian tradition. But there's a prophecy in the the underground lines of Isis that the original mother would return. It's very similar to what the Mayans believed, that mm-hmm. that she would go away for a period of time and that she would return. And the date that they had set was actually January 12th of 2020, which was the day after the first case of coronavirus.
Wow, and, that's interesting.
And for the Egyptians, you know, I get the great mother goddess would have either been Isis or would in later timelines would have been Hathor. And Hathor, mm-hmm. when she kind of first comes to the planet, she comes as Sekhmet. This is in their mythology. There's a big, I won't go into it, but there's a big mythology about Sekhmet coming to the planet and then turning into Hathor. And Sekhmet is a goddess of plagues. She's a goddess of destruction. And so what I would say is like, I think for a lot of us, it looks like a very frightening time right now on the outer level, or perhaps 2020 certainly did. I think maybe we're getting a little bit mm-hmm. more grounded in 2021 and kind of like, whew, we made it. But it can seem frightening. Some of the earth changes or some of the changes that are taking place socioculturally or economically, around the planet and some of those destructive energies. But if we can really hold that faith and hold that trust that there's a big shift that the planet itself mm-hmm. is going through. And there does need to be some cleansing of some of the old systems and structures and ways of seeing and believing and interacting. And unfortunately, sometimes we do need to suffer because, you know, not necessarily need to, but because of not having other ways, we do, and not being able to surrender, we do. Mm-hmm. So, but through that, you know, we're really seeing a new level of sensitivity, a new level of compassion, a new level of understanding of our interconnectedness with one another. So even just from 2020, I think on one level, it was terrible and it was traumatic and it was so hard for all of us. But how many, like for me, for the first time, it was like everybody all around the world, didn't matter if you were in China, if you were in Japan, if you were in the Middle East, if you were in India, if you were in America, we were all going through the same experience. We felt mm-hmm. this interconnection, like a unified planetary consciousness, really for the mm-hmm. first time. I felt that. And right. I was amazed by it. Mm-hmm. Number two, you know, we slowed down a lot. You know, we kind of retreated from a lot of this outer activity, and for a lot of people, we went within. We started thinking more about caring about our bodies, caring for other people's bodies, the earth, you know, health. All of those issues tend to be more feminine, energetically oriented issues. And so I do see a feminine consciousness coming back in, and coming back in very strongly right now. And of course, there's going to be, you know, all different perspectives and all different ideas. And I just try to hold the most positive one because, sure. you know, yeah, there's controversy. Obviously,
there's a lot of controversy yeah. and division. But yeah. like you said, there's like, you know, there's a breakdown of society. There's fear. There's all this that's been going on. But at the same time, we're looking at education. Education is changing. Maybe it's not going to be Ivy League education. You know, all of a sudden we have this possibility of doing Zoom education, you know, looking yeah. at the educational model, like what works. We're not really being prepared possibly for the corporate world anymore or for factory work. What are we being prepared for? What is the role of education? I think that's huge. And then, you know, with economics too, I think a lot is being revealed. And, you know, just, I know you teach quite a lot on sacred wealth and the development of wealth, and that wealth, you know, it is, you know, money is not evil. Like, we have to get beyond this, right? And understand that money is energy and we can work with it in multiplicity of ways, right? As the goddess would say. And then, you know, the religious. Right. The religious structures are changing too. Like, what happens when we really make our own direct knowing and become empowered through that? So it's a strange time. Things are breaking apart, but it also feels like a lotus blossom to me. Like, yeah. like maybe we're preparing for a major renaissance, you know? So what would you say? I mean, I just mentioned education, economics, religion, spirituality. I'm sure you could take that and go with it.
For me, I feel as if, you know, to make this shift, becoming consciously aware of the feminine Christ energy and really starting to actively steward it in how we are spending money, or in how we are raising our children and the education models that we are choosing for them, and to possibly even co-create with them. All of these things are there's a calling. And when there is, mm-hmm. you know, so much corruption, and when there is so much suffering, and when there are plagues, you know, in the Vedic culture, you know, plagues are really times where we're cleansing the ancestral lines. That's actually what happens, is there's very deep ancestral cleansing. So I really saw over the last, you know, year and a half that a lot of issues that had been buried beneath the surface of our collective, you know, sociocultural consciousness, you know, we had a lot of deep issues that were sort of there that aren't even necessarily things that our generation has been through, but they're ancestral wounds. They're things that the generations before, you know, that the generations of Africans that were enslaved and brought to America were working through, you know, those deep ancestral wounds and how it's impacting the collective consciousness. And so with all of these things, we really do need some of the wisdoms of the Magdalens, or some of the wisdoms of the, sometimes I even call her the mother of civilization, to support us, because I think we need, you know, people that are going to help us have these dialogues and help us heal these wounds. And it's almost like, we had therapists for our individual psyche. It's almost like we're going to need therapists for the collective psyche, helping with societies and nations, and helping us learn like new ways. And I think there's going to need to be a lot of patience and a lot of compassion. Like certainly this old mindset, basically this old mindset of like set a goal and like, you know, individual pursuit of destiny, set a goal, make it happen and force over and, you know, more that, which God, I love masculine energy. It accomplishes so much. It's so needed in the right context, but a lot of what we're dealing with, it's not going to heal with that consciousness. In fact, that consciousness might make it worse. We actually need more of this maternal wisdom and more of this maternal, like methods of nurturing, healing, rectifying, bringing back harmony, you know, between peoples, between nations, and learning how to live more in a collective spirit of harmony, certainly with the earth. And like I said, I don't even have all the answers. I feel like that's why I'm like, who is the feminine Christ to you? Because you might have an idea or a spark that is actually being inspired by this consciousness. And it's like, and maybe it's coming through you as a publishing company, or maybe it's coming through you as like an organic farm that you want to build. And there's so many different, wisdoms, I guess you could say, and methods that I think can support us through this process. And one of the things that I think one of the archetypes that I really love about more of the divine feminine mysteries and connected to the feminine's role in sort of birthing the Christ or birthing, you know, the new humanity, is that archetype of the midwife and how the midwife, you know, it's not always an easy process birthing a child. It's not without pain and it's not without blood. Even there is an agony in the ecstasy, but we have to learn how to midwife ourselves and our communities, like through the agonizing parts, so that we are, you know, coming together to co-create what that new future and that new level of consciousness looks and feels like in all of us and in our civilization as a whole.
Yeah, that's really true. And you're doing a lot of work with this, right? I know you do Akashic record readings, but you seem to be going more towards this collective work, teaching spiritual classes. Do you want to tell us about some of the work that you're doing or where people can see your events?
Well, I've really been recently really training, I guess you could say, priests and priestesses of the of this feminine Christ consciousness, and supporting the empowerment and the activation in the deeper wisdom streams, and spending a lot of time connecting them to, you know, things that are very practical, like our money system and our, you know, what people need in this time. So that's one of the big pieces of work that I do, is I do trainings, and some of those, most of those have been virtually, but once we open back up, we'll be able to do more in-person work. Retreats. I always think that's the best way to go. But I also do support people one-on-one, and I do Akashic Records-based healing, which is a spiritual healing modality. We're working with more of the soul level of consciousness, and a lot of times clearing the subconscious, and that's inclusive of past lifetimes and different levels of our greater self that are impacting our human experience, which we're not always aware of. So I do readings, and I teach courses online. So those are, you can actually, if you're interested in learning about my work, you can go to wakingbeauty.com. And I also have a lot of free seminars, a lot of free things that I offer there as well.
It's a really interesting site. So I enjoyed it. And I had a wonderful Akashic reading with you, a private one that I really appreciate. So thank you for doing that with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
So it was really lovely. So it's just so nice when someone can walk with you into the world of the divine and just help you get clarity. It's powerful. You can walk back out with your own sacred tools. You know, it's really special.
Yeah.
So, now, I know you have these singing bowls, and I wondered if you would like to play one. Yeah. Are they aligned with, or is this one aligned with the Sophiac Wisdom Codes, I believe?
Yes, this is a singing bowl. It's created by a friend of mine. Her name is Amma Sophia, and she really designs these bowls with very, very clear intention, using specific crystals, using specific attunements in terms of the notes and where she attunes the actual vibration of the sound. And I have a bowl of hers, which is devoted to the Sophianic frequencies of specifically the divine feminine coming into creation. So the high kind of more like angelic frequencies of the feminine Christ, Sophia in the Gnostic Christian tradition, is the name of, I guess you could say, like what Yahweh is to Jesus, Sophia was to Mary Magdalene. She's the overlighting divine feminine consciousness. And in the Gnostic faith, she is the goddess of wisdom, and she is also she created this world, this planet that we're in. And so when we connect to the sound of this bowl, it's bringing in that Sophia's wisdom, Sophia's energy, and that wisdom of the divine feminine Christ that is inherent in creation. So I'm going to have us take a moment, and wherever you are, if you just close your eyes and just place your hand over your heart. And if you can feel your heartbeat, just through that heartbeat, connect into the energy that created you, that has brought you to life, that is moving all of the blood through your cells, that is activating your human form with energy and intelligence. And feel the love, the loving nature of life itself, and the loving nature of the spirit which brings forth life, because this really truly is the spirit of Sophia. And just let that spirit move through you as you attune to this sound. Sound is, the mystics say that the creation was brought forth through sound and through sound vibrations, and everything is made out of sound. So as you're listening to this, you're going to let that Sophionic divine feminine wisdom attune your whole being to Sophia and the wisdom of creation. Upon the divine mothers of creation, the divine feminine Christ spirit in all of us, to awaken, heal, align, and activate the sacred wisdom of our body temples, the sacred wisdom of the mother of civilization, guide us in our projects, in our families, in our homes, in our careers, and in every aspect of this beautiful gift of life. We especially pray and we ask for grace to support all those who have lost loved ones, all those who are suffering or who are in fear over the state of the world. We ask for grace and healing wisdom and support to come to humanity, to support us in awakening and in activating the wisdom of the mother that will help us easily, joyfully, and effortlessly evolve through these pangs of this birth. Please lead us, guide us, direct us, and protect us. And so it is.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
I just feel like my whole body is ringing with the music of the spheres. Oh, it's lovely. Really lovely. Yeah. My goodness. Music, I do really believe that music is the great healer. You know, It's one way we can really come together again.
It is, and don't we need it after 20? Need some soothing lullabies and maybe some party music and
dancing. Right?
Yeah, so I think we can all look forward to more love, hopefully on the other side. Yeah, a renewal.
And a side. Oh, it's so beautiful. Thank you so much. You were very clear and concise, and I really appreciated the depths with which you share. I don't know if there's like some last lines you'd like to leave us with here, some wisdom of the ages.
I'm so grateful to be here, and I'm so grateful to know you, Anne, and you have inspired me so much in my own journey. I wouldn't have even moved to the Appalachian Mountains if it wasn't for you and your work with the Celtic lines, the Grail lineages, and I think they're very deeply connected to the Magdalens, and it's really we're connecting into a lost feminine wisdom stream, and I love that. And is there anything? Let me just see what can I say to leave us with. One of the things that I felt from 2020 is the permission to really trust in beauty and to trust more in the feminine energies, to trust more in rest and relaxation and health, and to trust more in, you know, it was like I really got to see, you know, who was really meaningful to me in my life. It was almost like it was like a little near-death experience. And it was like, oh, if this is the end of the world, like, who do I want to be with? Who do I want to surround me with? And before that, it was like hard for me to fully detach in some ways from the field of, you know, what our culture tells us is important, which has a lot to do with, you know, making money and ambition and technology and all of that. And there are some cases where, you know, it was just so contentious what was going on online or what was going on in the news that really, you know, I had to disconnect and I had to go deeper into nature and I had to go deeper into a lot of places that felt almost like a luxury. And so I would just say for everyone here to give yourself permission to go into the luxury of the mother's love, go into the luxury of nature, go into the luxury of nurturing your own bodies and your own physical health and wellness and art and music. And I don't know what you guys did during lockdown, but I was, you know, painting and learning how to drum. And I think like there's a silver lining, and find that silver lining and let that silver lining of your own joy and your own beauty, whatever that is, be what you trust and what you start to give more power to. And the more that we all do that, the more that energy gets empowered on the planet. So that would be what I would say to leave you guys with. And thank you, Anne, so much for having me on this show. It's really been an honor and a blessing to be here and share this time with you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I really believe this is true. So many of us, because we were indoors or we were in some beautiful sanctuary somewhere, but we had to turn inside. We had to turn in. And I watched my 80-year-old mom just spend every day in her art studio. Great.
Yeah. I started sculpting. Mm-hmm. I started, growing roses. That was really exciting. I, I felt like I took such better care of my body than I ever have. Partly because of the virus being floating around, and partly because I just had, it almost felt like I had permission and time to do that, you know? And I know it wasn't, I don't want to undermine. I know for a lot of moms, it was a really hard year and having kids at home. So I don't want to undermine the struggles and the isolation that a lot of people went through. So I don't want to undermine that that was there. And for, it wasn't necessarily a blessing for everyone, but I will say that in whatever way you can make the best of it, and in whatever avenue you can explore, I felt like beauty and nature and almost like having a forced retreat, a forced time of solitude and retreat can actually be very nurturing to the soul if we design it that way. So... Now we're in the blossoming. I think we're starting to come out now. So we'll see how it
goes. I believe so.
Yeah.
Right? All the people who have been nurturing their creative whatever, or their Qigong, or their whatever it might be, time, their poetry, literature, songs, dance, you know, it's now time to begin to share these things. So it will be interesting. It will be interesting. After the plague usually comes the Renaissance, right? So,
right. So we have something good to look forward to. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next or maybe down the road, but you know, there's always going to be a spring tide of creation after a period of destruction. So I'm holding that vision for it to be fruitful and healing and ecstatic for all of us.
Yay. Hallelujah. Okay. That's a wonderful note to end on there. So, yes. Well, thank you, Cara, for your wisdom. I really appreciate this, this beautiful conversation. And thank you to everyone else who's joined in as well. And may your lives be filled with color, sound, and consciousness. So you've been listening to Anne Kate Sullivan, host of Wisdom of the Ages, and you can find out more about me on annekatesullivan.com, or you can see our Infinite Light publishing books, and more authors are coming on now, so it's becoming even more exciting. So that's at infinitelightpublishing.com. So until we meet again, may wisdom reveal its secrets to you one message at a time. Many blessings.
Are you ready to discover your superpowers? Go now to superpowerexperts.com and take the superpower quiz today.